Good evening, Carmel. My name is Evanonymous. With me is...
Michael Davis.
And welcome to your one-stop shop for everything gaming-related, eHounds. So today we're going to start out with eSports. And the first new, we're going to start with LOL eSports specifically. And we're going to start out with the Season 5 World Championship Group Draws, for those of you who didn't see it. In Group A, from NA, First Seed, Counter Logic Gaming, Flash Wolves, Koo Tigers, and Pain Gaming. In Group B, Fnatic, which was EU's First Seed, Invictus Gaming, AHQ, and then Cloud9, which was NA's third seed. In Group C, SK Telecom T1, which was Korea's first seed, H2K, Edward Gaming, and the Bangkok Titans. And then in Group D was LGD Gaming, which was China's first seed, KT Rolster, TSM, which was NA's second seed, and then Origin. So far, the picks are looking in the favor of CLG for Group A. For Group B, on Fnatic or AHQ, and Cloud9 is not looking so good. For Group C, it's a tie between SKT Telecom and Edward Gaming. And in Group D, people are very, very biased towards LGD winning, and not so sure about Origin. You can actually create your own roster for Worlds at, I believe it's pick'em.lolesports. I'm most likely wrong about that. You can go to the main website. But so, Michael, you have anything to say?
Not really as far as League of Legends goes. Again, I don't know that much. I'm excited to watch everything. Watching those things are really fun. But as far as like actual information, I got nothing.
I mean,
on that.
I mean, I know I want to make my roster, but I'm probably just gonna go to one of my friends and be like, so based off of their team colors, who do you think will win? That's the surefire way. That's what I do for March Madness.
Yeah, but as far as League of Legends goes, I got nothing. But I am excited. I'm most excited as far as esports goes for Heroes of the Storm, which there's not much going on right now. But when BlizzCon rolls around, I believe at around November 6th, that's when things are going to get crazy for Heroes of the Storm with the World Championship happening there.
Is BlizzCon international or does it always happen in America?
It always happens in Anaheim, California.
Because I keep forgetting, is it Blizzard or Activision Blizzard?
They're paired. It's Blizzard, it's BlizzCon, but like they're paired together, so...
Because that was a really weird merging, and just like all the effects it had on naming was just really confusing. But you were talking to me about the next StarCraft's coming out, or the next expansion, I believe.
Yes, the next expansion for StarCraft II is coming out. It is the final expansion in the StarCraft II trilogy, which is Legacy of the Void. And they just recently had their announcement date. They're saying that it will be released November 10th, 2015. It looks like they're going to stick true to that. They're pretty solid. So again, it's the final chapter in the StarCraft II trilogy, which is going to focus on the Protoss, which the last two games, the first one, Wings of Liberty, focused on the humans, you know, the Terran. And then the second one, just focused on the... Zerg. I don't know why I forgot their name. But yeah, so, and it focused on Jim Raynor and then Kerrigan. Now, this game will focus on the Protoss led by Artanis.
Because I was always wondering, you know, like, why did they split it in three? But yeah, that's really good. I was always wondering, like, you know, when are the Protoss going to get some loving from Blizzard? It just seemed like they were a bit neglected in the last two expansions.
Yep, well, that's because they're about to have an entire expansion dedicated to themselves. And I'm really excited about it. It looks really cool. The trailers give me goosebumps. I was actually watching the trailer during SRT the other day, and watching it just gave me the goosebumps and the feels, because I'm really excited for it.
Recently I've been seeing advertisements for Destiny's newest expansion, which came out on Tuesday of September the 15th, and they did live action, which for, you know, for the fantasy kind of game, well, it was like a fantasy shooter kind of game they did, the live action just looked really good. Especially for just the scenes. And I think they used the CGI decently well. But man, that made me really excited.
Yeah, I was going to say, I saw those trailers and everything is just looking great.
I mean, I actually read some, I read a quick review on it. And it said that so if you didn't hear about Destiny, what happened was, so Activision is their publisher. And Activision basically went to Bungie and said, you need to cut up the story for whatever reason. So, like, this was happening because people were finding, like, game data on the disc that just wasn't accessible. Well, so, the story for Destiny is meh at best, but I've heard people say that within the Taken King, within the first, like, 30 minutes of just gameplay, it's already better than the entire story. I mean, like, I don't know that's happened, but I mean, I just, it's $40. That's the thing. And for an expansion, so I know in the PC realm, that's, you know, that's more of like, it, you know, that couldn't, I don't know how that really works. I think with Blizzard, aren't each expansion just like separate games, basically?
Yeah, pretty much.
And that's what this one's supposed to be. But I mean, $40, like $40 for an Xbox expansion, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I'm really curious to see how well it's going to sell. And I'm also curious to see, you know, how else they're going to keep releasing new stuff, because Destiny's been really bad about maintaining the rest of their stuff once an expansion comes out. So I know, like, with Blizzard, I mean, the only real bad thing that happens with Blizzard is, you know, the old dungeons and old raids become outdated and not really the thing to play anymore. And I mean, in Destiny, that doesn't happen. Instead, it's the developers who just shift their focus away from
it. Well, I was going to say, that's actually something that Blizzard is working on in World of Warcraft. They've created time-walking dungeons, which basically, it's just the old dungeons in the previous expansion, but they scale your character down to be a level appropriate for those dungeons and raids, and basically they make the loot, though, as if you were, because right now the max level is 100, so when you're in the dungeon, you're scaled down to level 80, and your gear is scheduled down to what 80 would be like, but then the gear you get in the dungeon would be gear that you would get in the higher level dungeons, so it's really cool, but it makes it so you can go back and play those other, or run through those other dungeons, and it's not just a waste of time, or it's not for nostalgia, it's, you can actually get gear out of them as well.
I think that's actually really cool, because so with Destiny, they only have two raids, and then I guess an arena type of thing as a sort, so the first raid, it's still, you know, it's max level, which was 30 at the time, and like, the way it, like, so it's actually still really hard to play, even though the level cap is 34. Well, it's been raised since the Taken King, but I don't remember reading what the level cap was. But even at 34, it was still really difficult, and it still took a couple hours to beat. But I know, like, they made the first one really well, and the thing is I don't know if World of Warcraft does this, but so, because, you know, it's a first-person shooter, they add in puzzle elements, and then but they don't tell the community how to solve it. So, for example, there's a part we have to run through, and there are these enemies that look like normal enemies, but if they see you, you have to restart. And they don't tell anyone. Well, it's a checkpoint, but like, they don't tell anyone about that. And so you have to figure out what to do, which, I mean, granted, with gaming, it takes the community like 2 hours. And then it's like, here is what you have to do step by step. And it's just amazing. But to see that is still difficult, which I think you just really get that mostly from lower level caps and from the fact that if it's a raid, you're still going to have, you be swarmed. And it's still going to be pressuring, which is the real thing that I think, like, adds difficulty into it.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, you know, what they're adding that's new, because I don't think a lot of people have actually gotten to the end game content of The Taken King yet, which I'm hoping they haven't. I mean, $40 for an expansion is... Yeah. I'm just saying that from an Xbox perspective. I feel like the Xbox One has actually been really focused on less games, but you play them a lot more. So, like, I know a guy who, he's sunk in over... I think it's like over 1,100 hours into Destiny.
Really?
And that's like he's been playing all, like, ever since the game came out. So he's been playing for more than a year. Just, I don't even know the math for that, but like, that's a lot of hours.
Yeah, I was gonna say I am not the biggest fan of that, spending more time in one game rather than a bunch of different games. It's one of the reasons I love PC gaming, because you can get a bunch of different, like, shorter video games on PC. It's just like games like Assassin's Creed Unity, or from what I've heard, Mad Max, things like that, where, you know, you have this big, or like Far Cry 4 even, where you have this big open world and you can go around and do a bunch of things. I'm not actually the biggest fan of that. I love story in video games. That's what I search for the most. So I very much like a game where I can go in, beat the story in however many hours, and then after that, that's just the end of the game, and then I'm done. And I very much like that style of gaming. I'm a big story nerd. I absolutely love story. Like Blizzard, I read all of their novels for their games because I love them. I'm currently actually reading an Arkham book right now, The Riddler's whatever. The Riddler something, but I'm reading that just because I love lore and I love story.
Speaking of Mad Max, if I remember, I think Avalanche Games made Mad Max, and from what I hear, the PC port, because I think it was originally developed for console, is really good. And I think they're the guys that make Just Cause. So I was a really big fan. I remember only getting the demo for Just Cause 2, but it was one of those where, So for people who have Xboxes, you understand what I mean when I say it just restricted. I think it restricted a bit of the map instead of saying you only have 2 hours to play, which I always thought that wasn't the true purpose of like a demonstration. But so, you know, it was one of those games I'd always just have fun messing around, even if with the limited options. So I can't wait for Just Cause 3, because I mean, Just Cause 2 is popular just for the ability to screw around in it with little to no like care for what's going to happen and knowing that the physics of it are going to be wonky, and like that's where the fun is.
Yeah.
So I remember hearing you talk about Shovel Knight.
Yes, Shovel Knight, which is an amazing game, by the way. If people haven't played Shovel Knight, it's great. I absolutely love it. If you don't know what Shovel Knight is, it's a platformer game, basically, and it's all kind of, you know, it's got kind of an old school looking look to it, art style, and the music is wonderful. Everything about it is great. Basically, you are this knight who uses a shovel, and he's going to save his love, Shield Knight, who is also super awesome, from the villain, the Enchantress. And that was the original game. But they have recently, Yacht Club Games, who released the first one, announced that they will be releasing the expansion for their game, which is titled Plague of Shadows. And Plague of Shadows is scheduled to be released by September 17th. So actually tomorrow, and when you hear this, it'll actually probably already be released. But the game will replace the original hero of Shovel Knight with Plague Knight. And Plague Knight was a villain in the first game. So now you're going to be playing one of the villains. I don't know if you're going to be doing bad things or if now he's going to be a good guy. Because the end of the last one was basically like, hey, they're good guys now. But I don't really know what's going to go on there. But, yeah, and the cool thing about this is the expansion is free. So if you already own Shovel Knight, you will get to play this expansion for free.
What's the name of the, it's like the King of the Trout Apples. I forget what they're called.
What?
Isn't Shovel Knight...
what are you talking
doesn't
about?
Doesn't Shovel Knight... Shovel Knight has the Trout Apples?
Oh, yeah, well, it has the Trout King, the big old fish king guy. But as far as apples go,
There's no, like, apple-fish hybrid?
I don't... Like, they might look like apples, because they're red, but, like, they're still just fish.
Oh, because I always thought there was, like... It was, like, they were, like, troutfuls. That's what I always thought.
No, I'm pretty sure they're just fish.
Okay, I thought they were half fish, half apple. That is my mistake entirely.
I honestly, I hope they are now. I might go back to play Shovel Knight just to see that. But yeah, no, I'm really excited, though, for Plague of Shadows. And again, the fact that it's free is amazing, because there are new areas, there's new bosses, and a new challenge mode, and all this stuff that they're adding to it. And I get it for free because I already own Shovel Knight. And so anyone else who owns Shovel Knight gets it for free.
I know about Shovel Knight. I really like the way that it looks. Because it, you know, when you look at it, it doesn't look like it came from this generation of games. It looks like, it completely looks like you know, Super Nintendo game.
Yeah, no, it looks very retro, but it's also very polished.
Did you know that? So when Notch made Minecraft, so most people who make games, you know how they make it in engines?
Yeah.
He didn't use an engine. He just hard-coded everything. That is, which, you know, he used Java, which, I mean, that's just, like, a game like that. That's just ridiculous. He was just like, I'm going to make a game. I'm not going to use an engine. Like, mostly because you can't really view, like, you can't view textures in a, the sandboxy kind. For anyone who's used a game engine, you'll know it's, you have like your preview area. You can't really preview it while editing it at the same time.
Yeah.
So that's just like crazy. And to bug test that, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna go off, you know, X units, like 1,000 X units that direction, just to make sure that it doesn't like randomly spawn a hole in the world. That's just crazy.
No, that's insane. But yeah, so Shovel Knight. Really excited for the expansion.
Have you been seeing anything on the Phantom Pain? Because that was a game that I know that was before. I think that was before both of our generation. And so I never really like thought of it as a really big game. And then, you know, once I've been hearing a lot of like the YouTube buzz from it, it's, you know, I never really thought of it as like such a big game. But wow, it is. It's getting like a bunch of reception, more than I thought it would have.
Really. Yeah, I don't know much about it, personally. So,
but because I know that, so when the first, like, when the original Metal Gear Solid came out, you know, it was a huge hit,
yeah,
and it had a lot of stuff, but I, like, because I always thought it was one of those games where, you know, they made more and they were okay and okay, but this one was just getting the reception of, like, it was getting, I mean, I know on Steam, I think it was overwhelmingly positive for its, like, user reviews, but I know Game Grumps have played it. I don't think a lot of other people have played it that I've seen. I think, I don't know a lot of other, like, really big people, but I know it's just been getting great reviews, and I know Hot Pepper Gaming, if you watch them. I really like, oh, man, I love watching them eat those habaneros. But no, they gave it a 5 out of 5, and it was, and you know, like, you always see when game reviews, rarely does a game ever get a perfect score.
Yeah, well, I mean, it takes so much to get a perfect score.
The only games I ever see get a perfect score are StarCraft II, Wings of Liberty. Now, I haven't seen reviews for the second one.
Well, Wings of Liberty was amazing. My favorite game in the StarCraft series.
I have Wings of Liberty and I really like it, but I don't know what's the best because I don't have the others. And then
I love it.
And then Halo Reach. Halo Reach is the only game I've ever seen get a 10 from like any news source. Or maybe it was 9. Either way, it was like a ridiculously high score. Which, I mean, for Reach, since that was the last one developed by Bungie. So I mean, I would agree that was definitely the last of good. From the in my opinion, from the as an Xbox player.
I was going to say, how is, because I've never played any of the Halo games, because I've never been that big of a first-person shooter guy, other than, like, BioShock Infinite. I loved that game. But, again, I'm not big on first-person shooters. So, how is the story for all those? Because I'm getting ready to play all of them, just so, or at least their story modes in all of them, for the most recent one to come out.
So there are a couple of things. So there is actually an entire website dedicated to the Halo title music. It's literally just the titles, and it emulates the music. And Halo is actually the game that made me like game soundtracks. So most of it was composed by Marty O'Donnell. And this is up to Reach. I don't know past Reach. I don't think for 4. And I know for parts of Destiny, I think he got laid off or fired for whatever reason. But, you know, I really like Marty O'Donnell's work. And I'll be honest, one reason I bought Destiny was just to hear Marty O'Donnell's work. Like, I really like Marty O'Donnell. But, so, with the Halo is basically the, I would call it the, well, not now, but back, you know, in Reach, I would have called it the last of the arena shooters. So, you know, if you remember Quake or, I guess you could compare it a bit to Doom or, let's see, Quake, Doom. I'm thinking of another one. It's escaping my mind. But so, you know, you have to scavenge to pick up ammo, and you start with little, and, you know, as you work your way, yeah, you gain a lot. But, you know, because with Call of Duty, it's, like, completely different, and that's what it's mainly gets compared to. But so, Unreal is what I was thinking of. But in the multiplayer, it was completely, you know, you just started out with a default set every single time you spawned, and you had to find new things. So the multiplayer, it was definitely the last of the arena style, because when you go into Call of Duty where you have a preset loadout, and then you go in there, and, you know, the only reason you're using something else is because you run out of ammo. It was, you know, that's much different, which Halo 5, I know, so one thing, and this, I guess, gets a bit of flack. The Halo series gets bits of flack for basically becoming more Call of Duty like every year. So for Halo 4, I believe it was like pre-made classes, but it, so in Halo Reach you could have pre-made classes, but it was from a default, like you only had a choice of 3 different weapons, and then I think a default sidearm, and then you only really had choices of, or were at the time, I think they were like Spartan power, so it was either you started with a jetpack or an evasive roll or like a sprinting feature. Well, in Halo 4, you had that, but you could also choose what you had, like, I think it was 9 different starting weapons, which, I mean, you know, that's not as much as like Call of Duty, but it still opened it up for a lot of, like, you know, is it better, is it not? And I personally didn't really like it, even though I really liked Halo 4. I didn't play a lot of its story, but just seeing it turn, so unlimited sprinting was another thing they added in Halo 4, but seeing it turn from like an original arena style game to more and more just combat and like trigger flicking, it, you know, and more on reflexes and less on like you know, skills like such as map control and strategizing. I really think that, like, so I'm not getting Halo 5 for that reason, But the story is good. But it is very action centric, and you know, it's I wouldn't compare it to like a Michael Bay film, but it's very like you know you start, you have action. If you want one that has good story, I would say Halo 3 ODST, because what I really enjoyed about that one was the soundtrack.
Yeah.
And it took a lot of new approaches. So your main character, quote unquote, he's basically a silent protagonist. And how it works is you switch between him and the other characters of his squad. Because what happens is so the ODSTs are orbital drop shock troopers. That's really hard to say fast.
Say that three times fast.
And so what happens is they drop in these pods that just come out of the sky and hit the ground, pop out, and that happens. So they were originally planning to board the Covenant ship. Well, it does basically like a warp drive, which it throws them all over the city of New Mombasa, which it is in Africa. I think I don't know if it's based off of Mombasa, but I like the location wise it is. And what happens is your main character, the person you play as the most, gets you like hit a building, but like you're outside. So when you eject from your pod, you fall a great height. And then you go exploring. So what happens is you switch between your team captain, your scout guy, your sniper guy, your demolitions guy, and you see a bunch of different storylines, and then they eventually converge together as you all meet up. What I thought was interesting was the way it used an intel system, and it had like a scanner, which allowed you to get enemy recognition, and it also allowed you to like see the clues. It basically was your waypoint. What I really didn't like was this was when I would say it started making the transition, because ODST had, well, it had health, which I know the original did, but it had it in a more interesting way. And it was the first time that you weren't actually a Spartan. I really liked the story. And so some of the achievements are I really like some of the achievements because it changed the way you play. So the two that come to mind are, one's called Good Samaritan. I forget the name of the other one, but it's based around the specific type of enemy that hasn't shown up since Halo 2. And what this enemy does is it gives shields to like the surrounding enemies. So the achievement was, well, you either took all of them out whenever you saw them, or was you never took any of them out, because it had something that had to do with the story, which it's really fuzzy to me right now because I haven't played that game in years. But you know, when it had that, like, I thought that was interesting. And it was also the first, like, it was the game that if you got four different achievements, it gave you the recon armor in Halo 3, which was, I believe, only given to Bungie employees, and then a man by the name of Digital Fear, who he made Halo 3 Machinima, he made Arby and the Chief, which I believe that actually sparked some controversy, because a lot of people thought that, you know, Rooster Teeth should have gotten it, or there were these guys called, I think, Darkspire Productions, and, you know, they thought they should have gotten it. So you had that. It also brought Firefight, which I thought it was interesting. I'm not a big fan of the survival. It was a survival type, and I'm not the biggest fan of those. But you know, for good fun, it was really interesting, and like I enjoyed it. But it just was, you know, that's just not my specific cup of tea. But if I had to recommend like where to start, definitely start Halo 1. It is a really good game.
Yeah, I was gonna say I have the Master Chief Collection, and so I'm just gonna start from that and just go.
I would say use the original graphics. It just is like that experience. Yeah. I don't know. From whenever I play an old game, even if it's remastered, if there's an option, so like I have Castlevania Symphony of the Night on my Xbox, but I always like to play it using the original graphic settings because I just feel like, you know, that's how the game was meant. And yeah, even though it's remastered, it doesn't really mean much.
Yeah. Also, I would just like to point out, I simply asked you how the story of the Halo games was. Like, was it good or bad? And why? And you went way
you're right, off topic
on everything. Like, you still answered my question, but with like 8 million other things.
Yeah, I would. I mean, yeah, the story is good. It's good. I mean, I guess another thing, if we're all on Halo, they do their collector's editions really, really well. So the only one I've ever gotten was the Reach one, and I thought I really enjoyed it. So what it gave was. Now, this was before there was a lot of controversy surrounding pre-orders, because I pre-ordered it. but they had Dr. Halsey, who you will learn is the like original creator of the Spartan program, which causes all the events to unfold, and and the AI Cortana, who you probably
know, absolutely yeah.
Yeah, is based off of like I think some of Halsey's DNA. But so like there was a journal from Halsey, and it, you know, it was really interesting, and I actually just really liked the journal more for the binding in it, and for a lot of like I think it had some art, it had some like artwork in it. But I really like the way Halo does, or well, Bungie does their special editions.
Awesome. All right, moving on from Halo, we are. I'd like to say another upcoming release, which is Lego Dimensions. I don't know if you've heard anything about that.
I have. I don't believe I have.
Okay. Well, it's being released on September 27th, 2015. So very, very soon. I don't even know when this show is going live, so this might actually be released when this show goes live, or, like, shortly after. Anyway, basically, it's, you know, I mean, you know about Lego games, right? Like, Lego Indiana Jones, Lego Star Wars, Lego The Hobbit.
They're really fun, and the thing is they're really fun, they're really easy, and they're great, like, party games. Yeah. You can't really lose them, but they also...
Yeah, they're fun, and they're silly, and basically... What Lego Dimensions is it's just a combination of everything. So it's all your favorite Lego heroes like Batman and Gandalf and just all of those characters all in a bunch of different worlds. So I know they were showing a demo at some conference where it was Batman and Gandalf and they were in the Portal universe and they were doing stuff in there. And it's and basically how the game is the game also comes with Legos. So, you know, you have your gamepad thing.
Is it kind of like the Amiibos?
Yeah, it's very much like that, where you have a gamepad and you put your Legos on it, and then those Legos appear in the world. So not only do you have this video game, but you also get physical toys, which I think is really fun.
I think that's interesting. I was watching Did You Know Gaming's video on Amiibos last night, and it talked about Skylanders, which I don't know if that was an Xbox exclusive or not, but I know like it's heavily marketed towards Xbox players. It's been widely successful, and so like maybe it's just because I wasn't part of that demographic, because I know it was mainly targeted to children, but I never really thought that it was going to be very successful. But hearing like I think it's made $2 billion, which you know from the start of the project for Skylanders, like that's just a lot.
Yeah. No. I love that idea of you know, you get these little physical toys, but then you also get this video game where you can play with them and do a bunch of cool stuff, just because I think it encourages the use of even more imagination than just having the toy does. Because before, you had the toy, and yes, you had limitless imagination, but you didn't really get to see it come to life, whereas now you do. So not only can you still go on those fun adventures in your mind that you do as a kid... but you can also now play with these toys as well on the screen, and I think that's really cool.
And the Lego games, I know they have really good humor, especially for their rating. Like they manage to get great humor in for its like E10+.
They're very good at marketing the Lego games for both kids and adults.
That I always thought was good. Which that actually reminds me, because you talked about limitless imagination. So for a lot of games that have sandbox mode, did you ever hear about Project Spark?
No.
So this was supposed to be a huge deal for the Xbox One. Like this was before it came out. This was a selling point. And they have a PC version, which I think it might be called Project Spark, but it was called Kodu Game Lab. So what Project Spark is it's just a blank canvas that you can make whatever you want in it. And it was supposed to be a big deal because, you know, you can share your creations and have all, you know, you can have like, you can share all these different types of things. So if you wanted to, you could remake chess, or you could make your own adventure. But
I mean, those are honestly two completely different.
It was like a kind of like tabletop simulator for the PC, but it was like a fully, it was kind of like Halo, if you've ever used Halo's Forge mode, kind of like that, but you know, you could make your own, you couldn't like necessarily make your own models, but I'm pretty sure it had mod support. But I mean, when it came out, it wasn't like that really big of a deal, which, you know, I just, like, I was always wondering what happened to it, and then I think it might be free, or it was free for the Xbox, like, Games for Gold membership thing, and I was like, oh, yeah, I completely forgot about that, and so, you know, like, I'd always wondered what happened, but I tried it out. I haven't really seen too much, but I mean, from what I have seen, there's, you know, you have your good and you have your bad, but I know, like, Tabletop Simulator has Doesn't it have, like, full-on Cards Against Humanity?
Yeah, I believe so.
It's like the people that have done that, it's been really just interesting seeing what they do.
Yeah. No, all right. Well, even more releases now. Bunch of stuff is coming out. Binding of Isaac Afterbirth is scheduled to release October 30th. So that's coming up. I don't know. Have you played the Binding of Isaac games before?
Well, I'm not the biggest fan on like those procedural generation games. And is it roguelike as well, or is it?
Yes.
Okay. Roguelikes, games like roguelikes for me, I'm not the biggest fan. So I've seen a lot of like footage of it, but I've only in a lot of short clips, and I haven't seen too much. I haven't like played it at all, but I've seen a decent amount of footage, and the game like looks good, but. Seeing as it was made by, I forget, but the same guy who made Super Meat Boy, that was a bit, like, I like Super Meat Boy, but I'm not the fan of from what I assumed is increased, like, really hard difficulty with roguelike elements.
Yeah. Again, I'm a big person on story, so games like Binding of Isaac aren't really my cup of tea, but I did enjoy playing the first one. I didn't play Rebirth, which I believe is the first expansion, but I did play the original game. I have it on my tablet still at home, and it's a fun game if you're just like if I bring my tablet to school, it's a fun game where you can just play it after school or something while you're waiting for like a rehearsal or something like that to start. That's how I see Binding of Isaac.
And for those of you who are tuning in late, this is eHounds, your one-stop shop for everything gaming-related, here on 91.3 WHJE Carmel. We're on the air every other Saturday from about 5 to 6. Sorry, you were saying?
Oh, no, you're fine. I think it's a very good game for that. And same thing with Super Meat Boy. I really enjoyed playing Super Meat Boy, but again, I think it's definitely more of a game where it's like, hey, I've got like 10 minutes to just do something. Why not play this for a little bit?
And I know that the creator, like, he is definitely a good game developer. Have you ever played, did you ever play the game, I think it was Spewer?
No.
So Spewer was, the Super Meat Boy actually originated from a project on Newgrounds called, I think it was just regular Meat Boy, just Meat Boy. And he also made another one called Spewer, which was, it was another platformer. And I don't think it got too much track, well, it was on Newgrounds, so it didn't get, I think it got a lot of traction for, you know, for Newgrounds, but yeah. Outside of Newgrounds, it didn't get a lot. But it was a really interesting game, and I don't know if it'd be really successful coming out of Newgrounds, but and onto like the open web. But I actually was always interested to see like if that was a project he would take farther, because I think he did the same with Binding of Isaac, but I'm not too sure.
Yeah. All right, I think that clears up a bunch of the releases. There's also, I also have written down Star Wars Battlefront, which comes out November 17th, 2015.
That's just going to be, well, you also have Black Ops 3, but to be honest, if I'm going to say, if I'd have to spend my money on either Black Ops 3, this game is, let's just say Call of Duty has been hitting a lull so much that Call of Duty has a lot of communities and they have a lot of their, like, clans. So one of their biggest ones, which has a competitive team, said, yeah, we're going to switch over to Counter-Strike Global Offensive if this game isn't good and we're playing the old games again. I definitely am more excited for Star Wars Battlefront. I'm kind of worried that it's made by EA, as I'm sure a lot of gamers are, but I have a feeling that they see this is their biggest like thing they can actually release. They're probably making sure that they're not screwing it up because, you know, if you screw up that, then that's just a huge mark on your record.
Yeah.
Already tainted record.
Yeah, I think whether it's bad or good, though, I'm sure it'll do fine just because Star Wars.
Oh.
So I'm sure it'll do fine.
Well, when does the movie come out? I think the movie's in December.
Yeah,
so.
The Force Awakens. Yeah, I think it's somewhere around there. So the game comes out, like, just shortly before the movie.
I think, I think that's actually going to probably make the movie a bit more profitable, because what it does is you have the game, so everyone's played it. Now everyone not only has gotten their first Star Wars fix, but they're definitely going to want more.
Yeah.
So, like, that's gonna change from, you know, from, like, a normal Star Wars release, which is monumental anyways, to that's gonna be huge.
Oh, absolutely. The Force Awakens is going to be a gigantic film release.
I mean...
But yeah, speaking of films, Let's talk about upcoming video games to film movies that are coming out.
So I know I said this before the show, and I'll say it again, but I watched, I think it was Film Theories, or no, it was Game Theories, video, Matt Pat's video on why a lot of film adaptations of video games were, you know, they were never really given a lot of attention. And, you know, I'm going to say, like, so I haven't seen a lot of the adaptation films, and that's definitely the reason why, which for those of you who might not have seen it, it just was basically about how in Germany, in order to combat Hollywood, you would get like a tax break if you made a movie. So there was a guy, I forget his name, but he basically just made movie after movie after movie of video game adaptations. So that, the word just blanking on me. So that way he could, you know, just reap the benefits of tax, of, you know, not getting taxed and such. And that's why, you know, that's why it's basically the shovelware for movies.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, so the first video game to movie that I'm going to talk about is Sly Cooper. So they're making a Sly Cooper movie, which they don't have a date in 2016, but they just say that the Sly Cooper movie will come out in 2016. And for those who don't know what Sly Cooper is, it's basically a game that centers around a small group of thieves who only steal from other criminals. And the game's main character is Sly Cooper, who is this raccoon. So it's all completely animated, and the movie will be animated too. Well, obviously, I guess a video game is animated.
Well,
not always, but like most of the time. But yeah, so there's that. So what's your opinion on the Sly Cooper movie?
So Sly Cooper, the only games I actually ever had for PlayStation 2, I think this was back when Blockbuster was still around. So I mean, that's hard to remember, but I remember I played Guitar Hero was mostly what I played. I think I had up to three, and then I just stopped getting them because that was when I was like, man, Guitar Hero isn't cool anymore. And then now I'm like, man, I really wish I could just pick up and play. But I think I might have rented like a Ratchet and Clank. I don't think I ever got a chance to actually rent Sly Cooper. I don't know if the Blockbuster that's near us had it. Well, that was near us had it. But I know it's a good game, and I think I would definitely see the movie because, you know, I'm an Xbox fan. But I don't really see the point in the feud of like Xbox is better, PlayStation is better. I mostly feel like, you know, gamers just we just play.
Yeah, we just like video games. Like that's
there's no like, you know, is the only important argument I think, and this is going to be between like PCs and consoles, is PCs they're just going to have more options, but consoles are better because, you know, one for people. So I'm going to compare it a bit to like Android and Apple. With Android, you get a lot more customization, but it requires a lot more knowledge. But with Apple, I mean, those devices are easy to use, and so are consoles are generally easy to use. The Xbox One took me months to figure out how to do anything.
Really?
Oh yeah. Well, because you go to the it was I think it's like a version of Windows 8 or something, because it has the exact same theme, but the Xbox 360, you know, when they keep changing it, it was just really confusing. I actually really like the old one back from I think it was like 2006. Maybe 2008. That's a theme I thought was like the best for console.
Yeah.
But the Xbox One took me a while to figure out how to learn. But the other thing that's great about consoles is if you have a, let's say you have a network issue, it's really simple to fix. Whenever I want to play a game and I want to get on my computer and it's like, you have 15 network errors. And it's just like, well, now I got to check every single program to make sure Microsoft Word isn't messing up me playing, you know, Skyrim.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm mostly a PC gamer and I think PC is way better. But, you know, that's just where we differ.
Well, I mostly take PC for games that have modding support. So, that's why I'm really debating on you know, what I'm going to do for Fallout 4. Am I going to get it on console or PC? It's just, I don't know what to get it for because, well, on one hand, I'm going to use a gamepad anyways, because that's just how I like to play Bethesda games. And because for me, it's just more comfortable, but I'm not sure, well, do I want to get it on my PC? Because I know that's going to have a lot more mods sooner.
Yeah.
But I mean, Xbox is still going to have modding, and you know, when, you know, the people who I talk to on Xbox are, it, you know, it still would be nice to just get in contact with them and, you know, talk with them while I'm playing the game.
Yeah. All right. So anyway, you actually, we're going to transition into the next film, video game to film, which you actually mentioned it earlier, and it's Ratchet and Clank. They're making a Ratchet and Clank movie. Yeah. It comes out April 29th of 2016, or at least that's when it's scheduled to come out. And yeah,
there's also a new game. I know that much. It was this was at, I forget the conference, but it was like the one where YouTube Gaming was debuted.
Yeah.
I think that was PAX actually. Maybe it was. I am blanking heavily right now. But yeah, no, the announced a new Ratchet and Clank game.
I was gonna say, I believe the game comes out either like right before or right after the movie comes out.
I would definitely assume that it would be synced up with the movie release, because that way, you know, you generate hype for the movie.
Exactly.
And at the same time, you like, I feel like that's going to be, now that I'm seeing that trend, because, you know, you think about Star Wars with that, which, you know, I don't know if EA and Disney are working together, but I mean, you never know. They probably, like, they're big corporations. It wouldn't be surprising.
Yeah.
But what I wonder is, so it used to be pre-orders were the way to, like, gauge sales. I wonder if they're going to start doing that with simultaneous releases. Because, I mean, that's my conspiracy theorist going on. But that would totally make sense. Release a game before the movie.
Before a movie comes out, just to see. Yeah.
I mean, say well, we're looking at an 80% audience being gamers. So we just take that and then multiply it by 1.2. And then that's our projected. Which I know that's overly simplified marketing. And someone's probably facepalming right now. But that's as much.
All the business teachers here are just like, oh my goodness, what is wrong with you?
They're just like, I could tell you're not in my class because you'd be failing. but I wonder, because that is interesting. But yeah, Ratchet and Clank, is it the fifth game?
The game release, probably. I'm not sure. I didn't play all of them. I played a few of them.
I don't think,
and I thoroughly enjoyed them.
I don't think they had a release during the PlayStation 3 era.
I don't think so.
Which, you know, that's an entire 8 years. Which, yeah, you know, that's not like Duke Nukem Forever development, and I'm glad it isn't, because Duke Nukem Forever is terrible. And, well, I mean, 14 years and getting switched off so many hands. I mean, it wasn't like, you know, Alien Colonel Marines bad, but it was still a really bad game. But, like, I'm just hoping that it's, because it looks good, and it's, you know, it's a 3D platformer, which I feel like, you know, there's certain game genres that we've mastered. So we've mastered the 2D platformer. That's why you know, you really see this in the indie, because it's one of the easiest things to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like 3D platformer, we've decently mastered it. I feel like, you know, with Assassin's Creed, that's more of where our, like, abstract stuff comes in, with a lot of the free running, or like if the game Brink with the first person free running. But I feel like 3D platformers were really good on keeping those well developed, and I don't think there's going to be too many problems. But I mean, that's a game I'm kind of interested in, even though I don't think I can actually get it.
Yeah, Ratchet and Clank, I would totally be down with playing it, but I don't think I'll be able to get it either.
So we just have to watch the movie.
Exactly. Well, actually, I believe the movie is going to be, I believe they said it's after the first game. It's the story of the first game is what the movie's going to be.
I mean, the first game came out, like, I'm going to say more than 10 years.
Yeah.
Because I know that's a safe bet. Because was it in the late 90s or was it in the early 2000s?
I think late 90s.
So more than 15. That's going to be, yeah, like,
yeah,
more than 15 years. There's definitely, everyone's going to need a refresher.
Yeah. But yeah, so I think that'll do well. And it looks really cute and silly. And, you know, a little robot and a little pointy-eared alien, how can it not do well?
Well, I mean, yeah, because it's definitely going to market to kids. And it's a really nice, like, I wouldn't say Zen game, but it's kind of like Lego games. It's,
yeah,
easier, but it's not so easy that it's boring, but it's not even, like, so hard that, you know, it might take you a couple attempts, but you don't have to, like, focus. It's not like a Super Meat Boy, like, focused,
yeah,
heavy game.
Yeah, no, I never beat Super Meat Boy. Like,
I mean,
that's,
I haven't either.
I think I made it to, like, the second or the third boss or something, and I died so many times, and I was just like, I can't do it anymore.
I mean, yeah, it's ridiculous. So, were there any others that are coming out? You said,
yes,
some, you said a very interesting one, I,
yes,
remember.
There's a few more. You mentioned it earlier, Assassin's Creed, which I think most people know that they're making a movie about Assassin's Creed, which is scheduled to be December 21st of 2016.
Which one is it over?
Which I believe originally they were saying it was going to be over the first game, but upon doing research today, it's about, I guess, an assassin named Aguilar. I am probably way butchering that, but this guy is essentially a 15th century Spanish assassin. And then his present-day descendant is Callum Lynch. So, apparently it's not over any of the games. I guess it's just going to be its own story.
Well, the thing is I'm pretty sure that the Assassin's Creed, like, they just jacked that story and then went with it. Now, of course, it's a decent story, and it actually has, I'm trying to remember, I think it's Assassin's Creed 3 has one of my favorite voice actors. And for anyone who's played Quantum Conundrum, it's the guy who voices the grandpa, which I believe in Assassin's Creed he voices, I think it's Desmond's father.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, as soon as I heard him, I was like, Quantum Conundrum, same voice actor. Which he has the definite inquisitive scientist voice. And he's perfect for the role. And wait, for Assassin's Creed, is it going to be live action?
Yes.
Okay, because I could see them animating that, because I think you could do some interesting things with animation and the, like, eagle symbolism. But, I mean, yeah, I kind of want to see how they're going to do it live action
It's going to be live action.
With drops.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know one of the actors, Michael Fassbender, I believe is his name, probably butchering that one too. But yeah, and I believe he's playing the main character. So yeah, so live action.
But I can assume that they wouldn't do the first game. Because the first game I felt like it was very well researched. But the thing is that was back when history wasn't documented very well. So we know general events.
Yeah.
But I definitely am really interested to see how a Spanish assassin will work, because I feel like, you know, they always have chosen good areas, and they've always made it so you're climbing up a building. Well, you know, the way the architecture was at the time, they always made it seem really reasonable.
Oh yeah, the art for Assassin's Creed is amazing. Even for Assassin's Creed Unity, which is the worst Assassin's Creed game, the art was stunning.
What I hear is, so if you ever get a, if someone ever wants to get a job at Ubisoft, what I've heard is if you, let's say you're going into art, you might get stuck with doing nothing but designing buckets.
Yeah.
Like there was apparently one guy who for 6 months did nothing but just texture buckets, which I mean, I am the bucket guy from Assassin's Creed Unity.
I would want that on just all of my resumes and credits and stuff. I am the bucket guy. Superhero name.
That's something that it's like you would want to do for your resume, but then when you're actually you're like, why did I choose this? Because it'd just be the same thing over and over.
But it'd be hilarious.
Oh, I mean, in the end, doing it would be, that's the thing where the ends justify the means.
Yeah.
Speaking of Machiavelli with the Assassin's Creed. I know you also said, so one you told me before, Angry Birds.
Yes, Angry Birds the movie.
I don't even know how you can, conceive it being done, but I don't even know where you would begin or how do you even do that?
All I know is I was looking at it on IMDb. Peter Dinklage is voice acting one of the birds. I don't know which one, but I love Peter Dinklage. For those who don't know who he is, he's in Game of Thrones, he's in Elf, he's that guy.
So are
he
they?
Was in, he was in Pixels recently, which just came out.
Did you ever? So did you hear what happened for Pixels? That they, so what they did was for Vimeo. So Vimeo is a site that their fair use rules and copyright rules are a bit different than YouTube. So a lot of people who might get copyright strikes generally go to YouTube.
Yeah.
And what I know is, I think who made it? Was it Universal that made it, or was it Paramount?
Who made Pixels?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Well, the company or the, my bad, the publishing company, they sent a letter to Vimeo saying, take everything with the word Pixels in it down. And they ended up getting their own trailer, and the original inspiration for the movie Pixels got taken down. And it was like, you know, what?
Yeah.
I mean, taking down your own trailer for a movie you're trying to promote, that was definitely a fluke on whichever department I feel like tried to get that to happen.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually heard a lot about Pixels. Have you seen it?
Yeah, I've seen Pixels. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun. It was, as far as video game movies go, I mean, it wasn't that. It wasn't the story of Assassin's Creed or something like that. But it was definitely, it had all the retro games in there. And it was silly and fun. It was an Adam Sandler movie. That's what it was. So yeah, I enjoyed it. It was silly. It's definitely not one of my top movies, but yeah, it's enjoyable. Fun for the family.
What I thought about that movie was similar to a novel called Ready Player One, which I don't know if you read it, but so it's a novel that's very heavily based around retro games. And so this is the biggest flaw with that novel is let's say you've never played any retro game or you don't even know the names of them, then a lot of the book is lost on you. Like you just won't straight up will not get a lot of the book. And I felt like Pixels would you say Pixels was like that? Because that was something I thought about Pixels.
I don't know. If you didn't understand retro gaming, you would still enjoy the movie. Like my mother, who I went to see the movie with, she died laughing during it. She absolutely loved it, and she doesn't get video games at all.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, even if you don't understand a lot of the retro games and things like that, you'll still thoroughly enjoy Pixels.
But I mean, Angry Birds for a movie.
Yes, Angry Birds though.
Well, are they so? You said they got Peter. Is it Dinklage?
Peter Dinklage. Yeah.
Is he? If he voice acts, is he gonna be like an actual voice, or is he just gonna be squawking the entire time?
I would assume he's voice. I assume the birds can talk.
Because
be a boring movie if they couldn't.
If you made a movie that was squawking for like
an hour and a half of squawking.
Oh my! I mean, well, I mean, we have classes that are an hour and a half long. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be as bad.
But yeah, I'm really curious because I saw a picture of it, and so the birds are animated and stuff like that, obviously.
Is it traditional animation or is it like CGI animation?
Traditional, it looks like. I don't really know. There was a picture, whatever. But they didn't show the pigs. I really want to see what the pigs are going to look like, or if the pigs are going to be the villains. Because, how do you do that?
You don't. Unless you do, what was that one? They made another game, but it was around the Bad Piggies, I think is what it was called.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless it's that. I mean, how do you do it without the pigs? The pigs are the staple.
Exactly. So I'm pretty sure the pigs are going to be the villain in the movie. I don't know how they're going to do it. It's going to be completely silly and ridiculous. And I'm excited to see what they do with it.
I mean, I'm just curious to just see even a trailer for it. That's what I really want to see.
It's weird that there isn't a trailer because it's said to be scheduled May 20th of 2016. And usually, movies have their trailers come out like a year or something before movies sometimes. So I find it weird that there's no trailer for it yet.
That is definitely weird. Are there any other adaptations that are coming out?
Yes, there is one more, which is the one I'm most excited for. Still no trailer out, which makes me upset, especially because it's coming out June 10th of 2016, but Warcraft.
Oh,
Warcraft, I am so excited for. It's going to probably be my favorite movie of all time. It'll overtake Lord of the Rings for me, mainly just because I love Warcraft.
Well, so is it World of Warcraft or like the original Warcraft?
It is the original Warcraft game, which came out forever ago.
Oh, that was when did so okay
90s
yeah I was gonna
some
say
some point in the 90s
like it was like the original games were Diablo I think yeah. Like there's Diablo 1, Starcraft 1, or maybe it was Diablo 2, Starcraft was, 1 yeah, and Warcraft 3.
Was their first game, their very first game, and now they're doing a movie on it, and I'm really excited.
I mean, because it always sounded like a good game, especially because you already have the entire story. Is it going to be based off of like a series of events or that?
It is literally they are taking the very first video game and just turning it into a movie, because Warcraft is an incredibly story driven game. It's one of the reasons it's my favorite games of all time. The Warcraft and World of Warcraft series is because they're very story driven, and so they're just taking the first game and just putting it on film basically with live action. So I'm really excited about it. The orcs look amazing. The pictures I've seen, it looks beautiful. And it's directed by Duncan Jones, who's a pretty good director. And I'm really excited for it. Because out of all the video game movies, this one looks the best. Because it doesn't look like a video game movie. It looks like Lord of the Rings, essentially. It looks like it's its own really cool thing. That sure, it's being adapted from something, but it looks just beautiful.
Well, I've always wanted to see a movie based off of like Warcraft, or even if you come into a lot of the more modern RTS games, such as like Planetary Annihilation or Sins of a Solar Empire, or like I'd even like to see a Civilization, which I actually think Civilization 6, they announced it for, it was, they said before summer of 2016.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure any movie on the History Channel is the Civilization movies.
Oh, you're probably like right on the spot. That's very true.
Yeah, any History Channel documentary.
But speaking of RTS games, so you this probably doesn't mean a lot to you because you aren't an Xbox player, but Halo Wars 2, I believe, was announced. Or at least like there was some box art leaked or something. It was like on the Microsoft website. And so that was a lot of RTS games on Xboxes, they're like dumbed down because one, you just can't have that many units on screen because you know like Xboxes and PlayStations, those things get outdated within 2 years, and they can't upgrade the hardware because then they have to change production lines and yada yada. So it's a very you get a constant gaming experience, but you have to wait 8 years until they develop the next technology for a new console generation. But so with Halo Wars 2. That was one of the most interesting console RTSs, and it really, like, I don't think Halo Wars came out for PC, so it was like completely just designed for console, and I really enjoyed it. It was a really fun game to just like play with friends and to mess around with, and I mean it wasn't played seriously, so that's what always, so what was always fun was just like building your largest army and then sending them at each other, and I know with the second one, like, I'm just hoping they bring more.
Yeah.
Which, I don't, there wasn't announced, and I think the original company is still making it, which, they weren't like a household name by any means. But have you heard of the new Fable game? Which, this might be an Xbox thing as well.
No.
So what it is, I forget the name of it, maybe it's like Fable Heroes, but you know what Dungeonland is, right?
It sounds familiar.
Yeah, so Dungeonland's the PC game, which is like you have four players who are the players, and then you have a DM. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's basically that, except for instead of like DM, you have four heroes and a villain, and the villain just has different monsters they control. But what looked interesting was it was basically like made for console, and the way that I hear the way that they use the D-pad like in the buttons is just like really, really well designed. It's a new design for like RTS or for that, like this kind, but it supposedly is like going to work really well with controllers.
Awesome.
Which, let's see, we're running pretty close on time here. So is there anything you'd like to add before I go into some last minute esports news?
Not really. I had an entire sheet of like reviews and stuff I wanted to do, but we don't have time for that. So I can save that for next show.
All right. So going back to the LOL, so we're going to go back to the LOL esports draft, mostly because that is where a lot, you know, that's just really big. And because NA is, North America is not really good at winning World League of Legends tournaments. So one thing is definitely, so for the North American teams, no one thinks Cloud9 is going to win, which they were our third seed. What they did was amazing. What they did was called running the gauntlet. And what it is where you have to win against three different opponents, one each day. And two of them, they did what was called reverse sweep, which is where you lose, so it's best of five. So you lose two games, and then you win the next three. But if you lose, but if they were to have lost one of those games, they wouldn't be at Worlds right now. But you know, a lot of people are just worried that they're not going to do well. And I know a lot of people are actually hoping that America's first seed, which is Counterlogic Gaming, will do well because they got put in a bracket, which, you know, for as far as Worlds players goes, they're all pretty equal. And, you know, it's the only one that CLG could have thrived in. And with TSM, not a lot of people are really thinking that they're going to do well because they had a very big drop at the end of the summer split. But so you said for BlizzCon before we end that there will be the Heroes of the Storm world. So who's going to be at this world?
Anyone who places in the American qualifiers.
So when are the qualifiers?
I believe they're going on right now. Again, I have to do a little bit more research on this. This is a topic that I'm not too familiar with at the moment. I believe they're going on right now. I could be wrong on that. But yeah, so again, I'll have more research and I'll have a lot more information on that next show.
All right, because I mean, Heroes of the Storm, I just hope there's one MOBA where North America actually has good teams.
Yeah.
That's more what I'm hoping for. But so that'll...
I'm thinking that'll be this one probably, but that's because it really only looks like North American teams aren't actually doing anything with it. Like, there was Heroes of the Dorm, which was...
Oh, yeah.
North American only. There was a lot of other things.
Or, like... I know, yeah, which, that's... We need to talk about that some other time, but we're... It appears we are currently out of time right now, so... That was me, Evan Onimus, with
Michael Davis
for this edition of E Hounds here on 91.3 WHJE Carmel.